You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
I get to do it right here in Hawaii, where I was born and raised, went to school, have all my friends, my family, this community, this state, and now this brotherhood. I'm really excited, and the goal is to win Mountain West Conference championships. The goal is to win games and make the state proud.
The voice you just heard in that cold open was New Hawaii football coach Timmy Chang, who is a name just about every single one of you would know from his days slinging the football with the Rainbow Warriors. And he's, after a very bitter, messy saga, he is the new head coach at Hawaii. And that's what today's episode is all about. Good morning. It is January 24th. And of course, you're listening to the College Football Daily. My name is Trey Scott. We are about to be joined by Jackson Moore, who's the publisher of the Warrior Sports Network for 24/7 Sports, to talk about Timmy Chang and him getting the job, and more specifically, the events that had to fall into place for this to happen. And that's Todd Graham, the program exodus that happened under him, the embattled coach who was only down there for 2 years, and then June Jones, who was in Hawaii coaching the Polynesian Bowl and volunteered himself to be the coach, and then talks fell apart with him in the school, and then that got a little bit ugly. And then Timmy Chang, the savior, coming home. He was slated to be the new receivers coach at Colorado State, where he was coming with Jay Norvell after working with him at Nevada. Not so fast. New Hawaii head coach Timmy Chang, 40 years old. And so there's plenty to get to with Jackson Moore, and here he is. Okay, Jackson Moore joins us right now. Jackson, why do you think, and it's all a happy resolution, right, with Timmy Chang, but the lead up to it, why do you think it got so ugly?
I mean, it's a long story out there the past couple of weeks. I mean, Todd Graham, a lot of fans were upset with the situation that was going on there. The state Senate gets involved. They have a hearing. Every person that, I mean, they have testimony. I believe it was 9 different testimonies all against Graham and making accusations and really not giving the athletic department a fair share to give their side. And then so they finally have the Graham resignation. And then very, very quickly, June Jones, I mean, it just so happens he's head coaching the Polynesian Bowl, and there's cameras all around him. And he makes it very clear that he wants the job and that he will do, he will rebuild the program just like he did once before. And so a lot of fans got on board, and the athletic department had to put out a statement saying they couldn't reach a deal. June Jones gets on Twitter. He says the deal they offered him was BS. For lack of better terms, he said he was offered 2 years and wasn't going to be able to hire a lot of the coaches he wanted to on his staff, which then again riles up the fan base another round. Then there was a press conference even Saturday, a couple hours before Timmy Chang was announced as the head coach, where they just came out and kind of talked down Jones and some of the inconsistencies with him in this process and some of the red flags that they felt. And if you're a Hawaii fan who loved the early to mid 2000s, no red flag oversees what you thought Jones could do for this program. So, he's a legend there, and a lot of fans wanted to see him back. And it's just seemed like from the start that him and the athletic department didn't see eye to eye. There's still some bad blood from how things ended back in 2007, 2008. And it just didn't seem like he was going to get a fair shot. And while Timmy Chang is, a really, really good alternative, if Jones wasn't an option, I think Chang would have been the front runner from the very beginning. But just the way it went down was not taken well by the fan base.
Yeah, it's been a weird few weeks. I thought that the fact that Hawaii, and I don't know how it works, I don't know, I guess there's not a strong presence from an athletics director or whatever, but Hawaii had a spokesperson, Dan Meisenzahl, held a news conference to defend the school and kind of took a shot at June Jones's integrity. So that's just like you mentioned that the fans from the early to mid 2000s, they didn't see any red flags. This is also now sort of weird that the school would be lobbying shots at Jones. And I get that it has to protect itself as well. because he kind of made them seem like they didn't know what they were doing. But now you've got this weird situation, and like, you know, June Jones has to, you know, I don't know, you know, what sort of hurt feelings he might have, but now, you know, his former quarterback is kind of thrust into the middle of this, and he's got his, you know, I saw Jones said he's thrilled for Timmy Chang and all that stuff, but I don't know. It was just, it's been a really dramatic few weeks, and the June Jones thing falling apart on Friday night. They'd mentioned like it kind of came down to the succession plan, and he had a 2-year contract, and it just reminded me of the show Succession. I have no idea if you watch it or not. I'm not trying to get you to talk about it, but it feels like there's sort of a lack of leadership down there.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't really buy the succession plan. I mean, Hawaii hasn't had a coach stay longer than 4 years since Jones was there last time. I understand why you would have some hesitancies in hiring a 69-year-old coach, but I mean, if he could give you 4 good years, that's better than anything they've gotten previously next to Nick Rolovich. Again, when you look at when Rolovich left, they totally scrapped the culture of the program and went with totally different schemes with Todd Graham. And I don't know what the succession plan was going to be for Graham, because he was recruiting so heavily in Texas, which unless you know, they hired the next coach from his coaching tree, there isn't going to be no connection with that roster and with the recruiting pipelines that Graham would have built, even in a best case scenario where he was really successful. So that was a bit frustrating to hear. You know, I don't have any problem with them thinking that Timmy Chang is the best route for their program, and I mean the long-term success being such a younger coach, but just the way it all went down, the communication that came out about the whole situation with Jones, it just did not set a good tone in my mind. And you know, I've seen covering a lot of different teams, I mean, there's a lot of situations where there's turmoil with the head coach, like there was with Graham, and there's a lot of situations where maybe the front runner and the athletic director don't see eye to eye, and there's a lot of drama and negotiations, and it gets really challenging. But that stuff almost entirely stays behind the scenes. And so for the state senate to bring this to the front, I mean, to the public, for the athletic director and their head coaching candidate to be sparring in the public with statements and on social media, it's just very bizarre. And I mean, let's not forget, this is also an athletic department that got caught without a stadium just last season, had to build one out of thin air, basically on their own campus over this past offseason. There just seems to be a lot of unusual things and a lot of headlines for this program that you just don't see anywhere else.
I don't even think I knew the stadium story. We'll save that for another day. I might have to go Google it. One last Todd Graham thing, and then we'll do a Timmy Chang question, and we'll get you out of here. I'm assuming it was all transfer portal related, which is just surprising that something like that could, it's such a big deal these days that it could catch the state senate's attention, because the first year was 5-4 in a COVID season. And then the second year was 6-7. And you look at Rolovich, and his first year, he went 7-7. His second year, he went 3-9. So not to, you know, I mean, like 5-4 and 6-7 are two pretty solid first years at a place like Hawaii. It was just, were people, was it just that miserable of a culture, that toxic, that, I mean, his son transferred it, that's strictly what it had to have been, right?
Yeah, I mean, the portal kind of, I think, accelerated things, especially when you look at not only star players leaving the team, but star players who were local recruits, which are players that are a premium for Hawaii. It's often hard to keep a lot of those guys home. And when you do, there's usually a lot of loyalty there. And so to see starting quarterback Chevin Cordero go to a Mountain West rival in San Jose State, to see their all Mountain West linebacker Darius Musau go to UCLA, I mean that's an understandable move, but it's pretty unprecedented for the Islands in that program. But ultimately, kind of the presentation that the Senate gave and what really made this thing, I think, irreversible was a lot of just the accusations about verbal abuse and mental health. And I mean, it was never proven, and Todd Graham directly denied it, but one of the senators went forward with some racist allegations of statements that were said, and has still been planting that flag and trying to get Graham out. And so it was just really ugly. They had a lot of former players describe just bizarre scenes according to their side of the story, where they showed up to practice. There was one player that didn't want to get the vaccine. He showed up to practice. His nameplate was off the locker room. That's how he says he found out he was cut, alleging that it was due to refusing to get the vaccine. There was a very public Twitter space, which is also new ground, where some former players were talking about the program, and some current players jumped in and gave their side of the story and had a lot of things that were pretty negative to say about Todd Graham. And one of those players was dismissed from the team, and he gave his side of the story in this testimony. One of the mothers of a senior graduating said that She was disheartened by some of the things that happened with her son, and Todd Graham's wife directly messaged her saying, sorry, your son didn't work hard enough to play.
Wow.
Something along those lines. And so, I mean, there was like 100 testimonies that were written. And in Todd Graham's defense, a lot of current and former players and other people in the community came to his defense. But just the constant storyline in the public was all the negative stuff. And it just really, I mean, Todd Graham got the team to 2 bowl games, but just the public image and the lack of support, there had to be a change. Graham could have been a successful coach, but it was just in a spot where they couldn't move forward with everything going on.
All right, last thing for you. So Timmy Chang, Colorado State receivers coach, all grown up now, 40 years old. To those of us of a certain age, he's one of the first kind of college football icons that we can remember, was a staple of late night TV. Threw for 38 touchdowns in his final season. It just sort of seems like when Hawaii is nationally relevant, they're good at throwing the football. You know, Colt Brennan, of course, a few years after Timmy Chang. I'm excited for them, Jackson. It feels like they're going to, my expectation would be Timmy Chang leans into all of the things that put Hawaii on the map.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think another piece, maybe if you don't know all of Chang's background, he is a native from Hawaii. He also attended St. Louis High School, which is the powerhouse that's produced the majority of the recruits that come there, including Marcus Mariota and Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, you've got him, the face of the program for a certain era, and the face of the local powerhouse high school. I mean, that could go a long way. Even if they can't recruit home to an additional level that Nick Rolovich saw some success and June Jones saw some success. But with the transfer portal, I mean, he already came out and said in his opening press conference, UH is going to be home to players that leave the islands and maybe decide they want to come back, which we've seen, you know, here and there. But with the portal, that could be a pipeline of instant talent for this program that wasn't really an option outside of the occasional guy that was willing to come back and sit out a year previously. So, I mean, that paired with the offense, Chang hasn't really run he hasn't even been an offensive coordinator. He hasn't run and shoot offense at Nevada or his other stops, but he certainly played in it, knows all about it. I think he's going to mix the elements of it, the old run and shoot and some of the spread concepts he was involved with at Nevada, and he was going to move to Coach Jay Norvell to Colorado State here this year until this all came together. But yeah, I think you're going to see a high up-tempo offense, a lot of passing. They've got an uphill battle to climb with the roster right now with over 20 players entering the portal and a lot of starters, but I think he's the guy that's going to attract a lot of players back to the program. And the other curious thing, you know, just as mentioned, not a coordinator, it's kind of a rare hire in the Mountain West, but covering San Jose State, they hired a 43-year-old Oregon State receivers coach, Brent Brennan, which was very ugly for 2 years. And ultimately, he turned it around. He's a Spartan guy that got family connections and had coached there and knew the unique challenges to that university. And after getting over the growing pains of being a head coach, has got that thing rolling. And I think Chang is probably going to have to go through the same process. There might be some growing pains these first couple of years, but if he can get over those hurdles and get this thing rolling, that's about the best case scenario as it can get for UH right now. It just might take a couple of years to get him settled in.
Jackson Moore, we appreciate you coming on, man.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks to Jackson for joining us. Follow him on Twitter at JacksonMoore247. My name's Trey Scott. Our producer is Lance Glenn. We appreciate you listening to the College Football Daily. We'll talk to you Tuesday.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.